praise the Lord. Our topic this morning is faux religion. Faux religion. Oh, we're getting with the fancy terms there, aren't we? What does faux mean? How many of you know what faux means? It means really false, fake, not genuine, an imitation of the genuine article. And we hear that term used a lot in the clothing industry because you have faux fur, which is essentially, it's fake fur. And in some cases, it looks better than the real thing. Or it may be a faux of a particular item, you know, a false or an imitation of it. And it looks just as good sometimes as the real thing, but it is not the genuine article. Well, we want to talk about faux religion, one that is not the genuine article. So let's start out with a few things here and kind of lay maybe some ground rules to some of this. First of all, what is God? Well, a lot of people have different thoughts as to who or what God is. And according to the dictionary, God can be a material effigy that is worshipped as a god. That would be, for example, like an idol that's shaped like a person or a thing. It can be a supernatural being that controls some part of the world or some aspect of life. It can be the supernatural being conceived as being the perfect and omnipotent and omniscient originator and ruler of the universe, the object of worship in monotheistic religions. And it can be, in some people's mind, a man of such superior qualities that he seems like a deity to other people. He was a god among men. And on that fourth one, all we have to do is look around and we find that there are people that get worshipped almost as gods. We make gods out of football players sometimes. We make them out of rock stars. I remember a number of years ago, and this was back in the 70s when the Beatles were at the height of their popularity, that, and I believe it was John Lennon, I might be wrong on that, but one of the Beatles stated, "We're more popular than God." And in a sense, as far as in the eyes of the world, they might have been. A lot of people knew more about the Beatles than they did about the God of the universe. So let's go back to our definitions here. And the one that fits best as to who God is the supernatural being conceived as the perfect and omnipotent and omniscient originator and ruler of the universe. That's who God is. He is the omnipotent, all-powerful, all-knowing creator and ruler of the universe. That's the God that we're talking about. We're not talking about some God that is made out of stone. Of course, today they'd make him out of plastic, you know. And we've got a lot of little plastic gods running around too, you know. And some people worship that plastic piece that sits on a table in your living room, you know. It's otherwise known as a television, you know, and they bow down before it, it seems like, almost, you know. That's the most important, all-controlling thing of their life. And actually, maybe not so much the television, but let's talk about the monitor. Because that becomes the all-important, all-controlling factor of our life as we've got our Xbox there, our Game Boy or whatever, and we bow down before that thing and worship almost sometimes. That becomes so important to us. That controls our life. There are some people that's all they ever do. And we've got other things that we worship as gods. You know, we worship, like I said, sometimes people, sometimes object. Money becomes our god. Those pieces of paper that you carry around in your wallet that are wrinkled and dirty, we make a god out of. Do you know how much germs are on that money that's in your wallet? If you really have a phobia about germs, you probably would stop touching the stuff because it's got more germs on it than about anything. Got traces of cocaine on it even. He said, it does. Yeah, it does. I mean, through the system somewhere, it's picked up a trace of cocaine somewhere. And all probably, unless it's a brand new dollar bill, and most of us aren't carrying brand new ones. They're old and wrinkled. But we make a god out of money. We do anything for money. And then let's describe what is religion. How many of you consider yourself religious? Oh, nobody's going to raise their hand and fall for that one, huh? Religion. You know, there's a popular song that used to be sung, you've got that old-time religion. Well, I've got that old-time religion in my heart. And I'm not going to try to sing it any further than that, but, you know, way down inside, I got that old-time religion. Well, religion can be a lot of different things, too. What is religion? It says the state of a religious, for example, a nun, it gives us an example here in this dictionary definition, the service and worship of God, or the supernatural, a commitment or devotion to religious faith or observances, a personal set of institutionalized system of religious attitudes, beliefs, and practices, its conformity. It's a cause, a principle, or a system of beliefs. And religion is basically a system of beliefs. You can be very religious, and you can be worshiping that idol made of plastic or wood or stone or whatever. But you are devoted to that. That has become your religion. I think everybody here probably knows what Facebook is. And Facebook asks you on there a question, what is your religion? And they published in the paper a few weeks ago what some people had put down. And it was amazing what some people had put down as their religion. Why, it was religions that I had never ever heard of before. I think some of them got made up. You know, some of them put down they were some religion that was on Star Trek or whatever it was, you know, or something like that, or Star Wars or something. And you know, all kinds of things cropped up. So when somebody says, I'm a very devout religious person, they could be worshiping Mr. Spock. Because they have that devotion to him. So because somebody is religious does not necessarily meaning they are following the worship of the one true God, the creator of the universe. So being religious is not necessarily the thing. They could be very devout to the wrong things. So we've got God and we've got religion. Well, let's look at the Bible a little bit here. What was the first commandment? Exodus chapter 20, verse 3 says, thou shalt have no other gods before me. At the time that God, Yahweh God, gave Moses the Ten Commandments on Mount Sinai, the children of Israel that are down at the bottom of the mountain, they had been living in a nation that followed multiple gods. They had been influenced and surrounded by people who worshiped all sorts of things. It might be the crocodile in the Nile. It was the sun coming up in the morning. It was the moon coming up at night. It was all kinds of things that they worshiped. They had a God for everything, it seemed like. So he says very plainly, thou shalt have no other gods before me. You don't worship anything else. You worship me, the one true God. He goes on and Revelation chapter 1, verse 8, he says, I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. Thus saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty. Now, in the English language, that's one way of putting, I've always been, I'm now, and I always will be. There's been no one before me. There'll be no one after me. I'm it. I'm the one true God. Then, in Exodus, as he's talking to Moses, speaking to Moses at the burning bush, Moses, he's getting prepared to send back to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt's bondage. And he speaks to Moses because Moses has got some questions to ask here. After all, let's think about Moses a minute. He spent the first 40 years of his life living in the house of Pharaoh. Lap of luxury. He had everything a person could desire to have. Best country on the face of the planet at the time as far as industry and civilization and all of that. He had access to all of it. And now he's spending the second 40 years of his life where? On the back side of the desert, tending to sheep. That's quite a change. And now he finds himself talking and communicating with a bush that's burning. Boy, you think this guy's getting a little strange here, you know? He's talking to burning bushes now. But God is speaking. You know what? It got his attention. And sometimes God uses things to get our attention and shake us up a little bit. But God is speaking to him out of the midst of this burning bush. And he says what he's to do. And then Moses says, well, I got a little question here. You know, I've been on the most wanted list for the last 40 years. Egypt's most wanted. You know. And he said, I don't know if they're going to take too kindly to me coming back in and saying, let my people go. In fact, they might throw me in the slammer. So what do I do? Who do I say told me to come back and demand this? Because God didn't say go back and go up to Pharaoh and said, Mr. Pharaoh, sir, would you please let God's people go and let them go somewhere else and live somewhere else? No, he was to go in, stand before Pharaoh and say, Pharaoh, God said, let my people go. There is no option here. So Moses says, okay, you know, they got all kinds of gods. So who do I tell them that you are? You know, because in their hierarchy of gods, they had some gods that were more important than other gods, you know. Anyway, God says to him in Exodus chapter 3, verse 14, and God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thus thou shalt say to the children of Israel, I am has sent me unto you. I am. Well, that's printed definitive right there. I am. There is no better. There is no more higher. I am sent me. Well, when did God come into existence? Nobody knows. He's always existed. The only clue that we have about anything is in the Bible in Genesis chapter 1, and it says, in the beginning, God. He was there then. Now, there are some people that believe that the universe is trillions of years old. And God said, in the beginning. God was there before that. You see, there's one thing about God. He's not affected by time. Time means nothing, really. To him. He always was, he is, and he always will be. Time has no significance, really, to him. Time is made for us. So in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Well, let's get a little deeper into God here. And you say, well, I thought you were going to talk about false religions. Well, we want to get to what the true religion is out there first. Mark chapter 9, chapter 1, verses 9 through 11, it says, It came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized of John in Jordan. And straightway coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens open and the Spirit like a dove descending upon him. And there came a voice from heaven saying, Thou art my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Okay, so we realize right here that we have two members, at least, to the Godhead. We have the voice, the Father, speaking from heaven. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. It also says that you see the Spirit descending upon him like a dove. Now, this is recorded not just here, but it's also recorded in Luke chapter 3, verses 21 and 22, and Matthew chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. Something that's important gets recorded more than one time. He's making a point here. This is my beloved Son, in him in whom I am well pleased, and the Spirit descended upon him as a dove. But you know, it wasn't just there that this was said. Because back in Psalms chapter 2, verse 7, it says, I will declare the decree that the Lord has said unto me, Thou art my Son, in this day have I begotten thee. Now, there are some folks that say God does not have a son. But he says right here, This is my Son, I have begotten thee. A prophetic word that came from all those many years prior to the time that Jesus walked the face of the earth. Goes on in Proverbs chapter 30, verse 4. Who hath ascended up into the heavens, or descended? Who hath gathered the wind in his fist? Who hath bound the waters in a garment? Who hath established all the ends of the earth? What is his name, and what is his son's name? If thou canst tell, God, Jesus the Son, is talking about there. Then we read in Luke chapter 1, verses 30 through 33, still yet a prophetic pronouncement. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. And he shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. The Son of God prophesied there as the angel gives prophetic announcement. You will conceive and you will bring forth a son, and he will be the Son of the Most Highest, the Son of God. Okay, so we've got established God the Father, God the Son. And then we want to talk about the Comforter, who is also called maybe the intercessor, the consoler, or advocate. John chapter 14, verse 16, Jesus says, And I will pray the Father, and he will give to you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Then in 14:26 he says, But the comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and shall bring all things to your remembrance, which I have said unto you. So we've got God, the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. That is true religion. That is true worship. But then we get into faux religion, or false religion. And Jesus said in Matthew chapter 15, verses 8 and 9, The people draw nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. And there are a lot of people out there who, in the name of religion, of true religion even, teach doctrines of men that are not of God. And a lot of people today fall for, oh, they think they're a Christian because they go to such and such church. After all, the followers of David Koresh, and most of you remember who David Koresh was, they followed him from California to Texas, and there the most of them lost their lives. They thought they were following Christianity. They actually, before it was over with, began to think that David Koresh was Jesus himself. He was teaching doctrines of men. And then, of course, there was Jim Jones, who started out sounding so very, very good. I've heard some of his sermons from when he started out, and they sounded pretty good. I have a pastor friend in Guyana who actually heard him preach in Guyana and said he sounded good. And a lot of people followed him, thinking they were following the one true God. But before it was over with, he began to tell them that he was God. They were beginning to worship him, and he began to teach the doctrines of men. And what happened? Well, hundreds and hundreds lost their life because of this. They followed the doctrines and commandments of men. Well, what is doctrine? You know, sometimes we get into church and we hear words that don't necessarily get used outside of church. Now, this word doctrine gets used outside of church a lot, but what is doctrine? It's actually, as Larry's just said, they're teachings. Something that is taught, a principle or position of a body that participates in a branch of knowledge or a system of belief. For example, in history, you studied history in school. You studied the Monroe Doctrine, for example. And I'm sure there have been many others like that that we have studied in history. It's a principle of law established through past decisions, a statement of fundamental government policy, especially in international relations, a military principle or a set of strategies. So a doctrine is basically a teaching. And a lot of people got their own strange doctrines. All you got to do is turn on radio, television, you hear some strange doctrines being taught. Yeah. Paul writes in 1 Timothy 4:1, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils." Doctrines of devils. I don't know if anybody here's ever been down on Bourbon Street in Louisiana or in New Orleans. But you can walk down that street and you can see a sign, Reverend So-and-so. And Reverend So-and-so is peddling potions and spells and things of that nature. I have a program I like to watch on TV. It's a cops and robbers type show. And the other night in the episode, it had to do with voodoo dolls. And they went to this shop that these dolls came from, and the guy insisted on being called Reverend whatever his name was in the show, you know. But Reverend so-and-so. Just because a person has Reverend in front of their name doesn't mean that they are teaching the doctrine of the true God. They could be teaching anything. So Reverend so-and-so was showing people how to make voodoo dolls. So he says here, "They shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils." That's why we have to be careful as Christians, what we listen to and where we go. You know, I used to say, well, I don't care where you go to church as long as you go to church, but you got to be careful about that anymore. Because there's some churches out there that are not teaching the truth of what God has to say in His Word. Oh, they may have the Bible there, but pretty soon they'll find out that there are things in their Bible that are kind of strange, you know, and they start to depart from the faith. And if you're not careful, you'll be led astray. He goes on, John, in 2 John 1, 10 through 11, "If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine," and he's talking about the doctrine, the teaching of Jesus Christ that they're teaching here in God's Word, "receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed, for he that biddeth him Godspeed is a partaker of his evil deeds." So somebody comes and knocks on your door and wants to share a strange doctrine with you that cannot be found in the Word of God, does not match up to the Word of God, and they get ready to leave, and you say, well, God bless you. No, you don't want what they're talking about there to happen. You don't want that to be blessed. You don't want to share in their false doctrine. What you want them to do is to get saved. And by the way, most often if somebody comes like that and you say, well, I'd like to share a little bit about what I have to say, they're likely to get up and leave at that point anyway. I remember years ago I had a friend that I went to high school with, and he was a member of a particular religious group that went around door to door a lot. And he came to my door one day and began to explain to me he was a minister in such and such church. And I said, well, that's fantastic. I'm a minister too. And the minute I told him that, he decided he better leave. And he went on his way. I never saw him again. You know? John here, as we go on in 2 John chapter 1, verses 7 through 9, he says, for many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but we receive full reward. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrines of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. So if somebody comes along and they don't want to tell you that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, you want to stay away from them. That is false religion. And there's groups out there today that a lot of people are cozying up to, and they teach you that God has no son. Now, oh yes, there was a Jesus, and he was a good man, but he was not the Son of God. And he's going to come back someday and straighten us all out over that too. And you say, well, what was that? Well, all of us hear a lot about Islam today. And that's what they teach. Oh, they teach the prophets and the things of the Old Testament. They teach a lot of that. Some of what they teach is correct. But they also tell you that God does not have a son. And that Jesus Christ, although he walked on the face of the earth, he was not the Son of God. And that we have perverted our Bible and made him into the Son of God. And he's going to come back someday and he's going to set all of us straight. That he was not the Son of God. And we believed a lie all this time. Well, that's not what the Bible tells me. And I'd rather go by what God, the creator of the universe, God, Yahweh God, had to say, that Jesus Christ is his son. And he said it in more than one place, that he had a son. So, what did John say here? He said, anybody that teaches that Jesus Christ is not the Son of God is a deceiver and the Antichrist. Now, I know that usually when we think about false religions, you know, we can think about maybe some of the major religions of the world, such as Hinduism or Buddhism or Spiritism or Jainism or Zoroastrianism or Paganism or Wiccan. We think about those. And those are just to name a few of the literally hundreds and hundreds of religions that there are in the world today. But a lot of times, do we really, as Christians, stop to think that these false religions can include things like sorcery? After all, you know, Harry Potter was a pretty neat kid in the book. You know, I never read the book, but that's what they tell me. You know, he was a sorcerer. I actually had a person almost threaten my life one time because I disagreed that, you know, with Harry Potter. And I'll tell you, for a while when I went to the post office, I opened packages carefully. That's how concerned I was with some of the emails I got. Or Ouija boards. After all, it's made by Parker Brothers. Or clairvoyance. Palm readers, fortune tellers, tarot cards, numerology, tea leaf readers. I see in your cup of tea what God has in plan for you, you know, what your future holds. How many seen the ads on TV, call Madam So-and-so and she will tell you your future? By the way, I forgot what her name is now, but she got busted for something, and they took all of her commercials off because of, and I've forgotten what happened there, but actually when you called and that number, you might be getting any one of a number of persons who was posing as so-and-so, and they were just kind of going from something they've been taught, you know, how to judge from what the person says, what answers to give, you know. After all, most of the time you tell them what you want them to tell you. Had someone tell me that not too long ago that they called one of those 800 numbers to see if they could get direction as to what they were supposed to do. Well, I had to tell them that I didn't think that was a very good idea, that they were messing with the things that Saul in the Bible ended up dying over. But sometimes as Christians, we think it's okay, you know. And that's where we start to get led astray. Horoscope. Horoscopes published in the paper can't be bad. You know? I'm not going to ask how many read their horoscope, but I worked with a guy one time that he read his horoscope every morning, and whatever his horoscope said, that's the way things had to be that day. And if it said he was going to have a lousy day, there was no matter what you did, he had a lousy day. He was determined, he was bound that he was going to fulfill what his horoscope said. Of course, I got to also say that one day, just as a joke, I took a pink piece of paper and wrote, "This is a pink slip." After all, it was a pink piece of paper. It was a slip of paper. And I put it by his time card. He went all day thinking he'd been fired. Just because I put a piece of pink paper on his time card. I like to never got to explain to him that it was a joke. But that's the way some people are. They have made these things their God. They won't listen to what the Bible has to say, but that horoscope that's printed in the paper, they'll live their life by it. And of course, there's crystal gazing. Look deep in my crystal ball. There's white magic. After all, people don't want to get associated with black magic, but white magic's okay. That's okay. Yeah. Or seances. Actually, it was the seance that got Saul in trouble. I want you to call up Samuel for me. Well, seances. Call up the departed for me, that I can ask them questions. Or I can speak to them. Or I can know that they're okay. Astrology. See, the star means that, you know, and all this, that. That's false religions. It's false doctrines. It's false teachings. And yet many who claim to be a child of God have participated in these things. Actually, I recall sometime in the past having seen a church carnival and you could go get your fortune read. My wife worked with a lady that got into some of this stuff. And where did she get into some of it at? By going to a church ladies' group at a well-known denomination's church ladies' group. By the way, that ladies' group got so bad the denomination had to disband it, finally. But there are those who think, well, I can find my answer from God through this. But the Bible plainly tells us if we don't find it in the Word of God, if we find it through something like that, that we are being led astray by false doctrines. Doctrines of devils, as the Bible tells us, actually. Anything that is not of God can only be from what other source? Satan. If it's not of God, then it has to be from Satan. You say, you're getting pretty strong there with that. You know, isn't there some gray area here? No. No gray area. Things are either of God or they're of the devil. when it comes to doctrines and teachings about our eternal life. You get gray areas when you get into points of law, like did so-and-so, because they backed out and this other person backed out and they hit each other, who was at fault? You can get some gray areas there. But that is not a spiritual doctrine. That is not a spiritual teaching. That's the laws of men right there. But when it comes into spiritual laws, they either come from God, Yahweh God, the creator of the universe, or they come from Satan. John chapter 8, verses 42 through 44 said, "And Jesus said unto them, If God were your Father, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God, neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech, even because you cannot hear my word? Ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it." You see, within the religions of Satan, it's okay to lie. Because after all, he's the father. He's going to tell you what you want to know, what you want to hear. Am I okay? Sure, you're okay. You know, that's what he wants you to think. Jesus said in Matthew 12:30, "He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad." You're either standing with Jesus or you're standing with the devil. There is no, "Well, I'm not going to choose sides." How many people say, "Well, I don't want to choose sides in this"? You know, well, you've got to choose a side here. You're either with Jesus or you're not with him. If you're not standing with him, then you're against him. Simple as that. Here's what God had to say in the book of Malachi, chapter 3, verse 5. He says, "And I will come near to you to judgment, and I will be a swift witness against the sorcerers and against the adulterers and against false swearers and against those that oppress the hireling and his wages, the widow and the fatherless, and that turn aside the stranger from his right. And fear not me, saith the Lord of hosts." He's going to come against these things. He's going to stand in judgment against these things. You're either standing with God, or whether you like it or not, you're standing with the devil. That's the only two choices there is. And false religion is anything that is not of Yahweh God, that doesn't match up with what his holy word has to say. If this doesn't back it up, then run. What was that movie a few years ago, Forrest Gump, when there's one line in it, "Run, Forrest, run." Well, when it doesn't match up, run, person, run. Because it's the wrong thing. There's a lot of false religions in the world today. A lot of things that would deceive even the very elect. The Bible tells us if the days weren't cut short, even the elect would be deceived. And the elect, in some cases, are being deceived today. Some of those people that have been in church for years are walking away and falling into false doctrine and into false religions and into the things that are not of God, because they let various things come into their life and into their heart and they turn their back on God. It's a day to stand with God. It's a day to stand with his son Jesus Christ. It's a day to make that determination and that decision that I'm going to follow what Yahweh God said no matter what takes place. And unfortunately, that no matter what part may be just ahead. We've got to stand for God, stand for what's right, for what his word has to say. Yeah, the devil's got a lot of false religions out there, and a lot of them sound so very good. There's another one that wasn't in my notes, but they just opened a branch here in Nashville, Tennessee. A lot of people, a lot of movie stars belong to it. And that's Scientology. And in Scientology, you can become God. If you got enough money, you can become God. You are God. We just got to teach you how to realize that you're God. People being led astray. People want to think good things about themselves. I can be God? Wow. Then I'm going to go be God. Ain't never going to happen. Even for Christians who live their entire life for God, and they stand in the presence of God, and they have that new body that God is going to give us, that glorified body and all the things that He's promised to His children, they will still not ever be God. Oh, we'd be a lot more than what we are. But we're not going to be God. And yet there are people who tell you that you can be God. And hundreds of people are led astray because, well, actually it's kind of pride and a few other things that they think, if I can be God, man, I'm going to be God, you know. And things like that. And by the way, Scientology was started by L. Ron Hubbard. L. Ron Hubbard, who mysteriously disappeared and has never been found, along with Jimmy Hoffa, you know. L. Ron Hubbard was a science fiction writer. And he decided to create his own religion. And that's what the basis of it is. It's a really good science fiction story. Worked well for him anyway for quite a while. Of course, I guess in the end it didn't work so well after all. You know? And just think about how many people, really, if you step back to study history and things of some of these things, some of these people that started some of these things, think about what happened to them. Their father, the devil, lied to them, promised them all these things. And what happened? They all died horrible deaths. Being burned to death, as happened to David Koresh. Jim Jones, we don't know if he drank the Kool-Aid. Well, he didn't drink the Kool-Aid. Somebody shot him. Some of these others. Years ago when I was a kid, there was a guy in California that claimed to be Jesus. And somebody stuck a bomb under his house and he found out he wasn't Jesus. You know, but it's too late then. It's the father of the devil lies. Tells you things that are not true, they're going to happen. So we have to stand for what the Word of God has to say today. It's God's Word. There is only one true religion. But I don't even like to use that term anymore because too many people misunderstand the word religion. There is one true relationship. And that relationship with Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is what gets us into heaven. And there is no other way. Jesus said, I am the way. Another place he said, I'm standing at the door, I'm knocking, if you'll come in. He wants to put us on that straight road that leads us to heaven. Our narrow road that leads to heaven. He wants to get us down the right pathway. If we'll let him. If we'll let him. And Father, I come before you today and I just pray, Father, that as these words have been spoken this morning, Father, this message has been given, Father, those that are hearing it, Father, that it would touch deep into their hearts and lives. And Father, as we reach out beyond the walls of this building even this morning with this message, I pray, Father, that lives would be touched and changed. Maybe there are, Father, people that will listen to this message within the next few days that will hear it, and they've been thinking about following after some strange doctrine or some strange teaching, and it will grip their heart and cause them to realize they're starting down the wrong pathway. And I just pray that you would speak to hearts and lives today. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah.